Bienvenue à l'émission Radio Internet Antigène. Nous allons passer de la musique internationale et apporter un peu de culture aux habitants de Saint-Fin-Nancy. Rejoignez Jason pendant une heure de détente avec pêche et Brexit dans l'épisode 10.
Yes, welcome listener, and thank you to Sophie Baylor for the introduction. My name is Jason, and we're about to embark upon episode 10 of the Antigène Internet Radio Show, Libérez les Rosbifs. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you to everyone who listened to our first show for Shipful of Bombs last month. If you missed it, the Podbean and Mixcloud links are spammed all over the Antigène Records Facebook and Twitter pages. Tonight, we're going to cater for the people of Southend-on-Sea's insatiable appetite for international culture. The show will exclusively feature music from our nearest European neighbour, the land of France. But don't worry, I'll be talking very slowly and loudly in English, so that French people can understand me. And instead of apologising for my pronunciation after every attempt, I'm going to make one apology now for the whole show. We open the show with Cécile by Jacques Tolo, a track from his 1971 album Quand le son devient aigu, jetez la girafe à la mer, which translates as When the sound becomes piercing, throw the giraffe in the sea. Honest. Jacques Tolo is an avant-garde free jazz drummer who played with Don Cherry at a very early age and also worked with Sonny Sharrock. I discovered him on the Finders Keepers album, Strain, Crack and Break, Music from the Nurse with Wound List, Volume 1, released in 2019, and well worth picking up if you're feeling adventurous. Without further ado, let's embrace more music from our French cousins. This is Lepe with Lou from their 2019 album, Diabolique.
Thank you.
I said our French cousins? Apparently that's very likely to be the case, as according to some genealogists, up to 25% of the so-called British population can trace its ancestry to William the Conqueror, or William the Bastard, as I prefer to call him. And not just because he was French, because he was a bastard. This means 4,352,686 people of the 17,410,742 people who voted Leave in the 2016 referendum were genetically part French because their mum or their dad had a little bit of French blood in them. Or French semen, if it was their dad. Or their mum. I'm not judging. But don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we send these French Brexiteers back to where they originally came from and deport them all to Normandy, as their ancestors liked it so much over there. But, just thinking out loud, it would reduce pressure on public services. I was going to begin this segment with a trigger warning, in case some of you listening out there, in Southend-on-Sea, still have a problem with the French. Coming over here in the 11th century, placing your proud Anglo-Saxon ancestors under the Norman yoke, stealing and redistributing their land, issuing royal writs forcing everyone to speak French and regulations to ban bendy turnips, and imposing a feudal system of governance that we all had to live under for the next 400 years. But I didn't, because like Brexit, we've all moved on. Although it's astonishing how much land in the UK is still owned by the descendants of these Weasley pro-Norman collaborators. Half the UK is owned by 1% of the population, and 3% is owned by the royal family, the Crown Estate, and various members of the aristocracy, who owe their land, wealth, and hereditary titles to dodgy deals made with William the fucking bastard back in the 1060s. If we really wanted to take back control of our country in 2016, maybe we should have started by getting our land back from these medieval Ramonas, who gave away our sovereignty in the 1060s, hoping a free trade agreement with Normandy would help the Anglo-Saxon economy. Anyway, it's a bit early in the show to start going off on one. The next track is by Ulaanbaatar, an experimental post-rock band formed by Amaury Cambuzat and Olivier Monchon in Paris in 1993. This is from their fourth album, Ego Echo, produced and released by Michael Gira via Young God Records in 2000.
Osseur violence, tu touches à la plaie. Tes doigts de fée s'enfoncent dans le beurre de ma chair. Sœur, chair. Tes explosions font mes blessures. Mes plaies futures. Oh ma chère, ne m'abandonne. Après que l'heure sonne. Oh sœur violence et douce ma chère. Tu touches aux organes chers. Ces triturations là me gênent. Et poursuis, je me sens blême. Se transforme en flaque le long de mes tissus flasques. Le long d'écorché, le long coule comme flaque. Et sœur violoncée, ouvre ma chair. Danse jusqu'à faire peine. Et douce chair est convoitée. Se cramponne la violentée. Et douce chair est convoitée. Tous suavités. Et sœur violoncée ouvre la chair. Et se cramponne à la refaire. Le long et douce ma chair. Le long. Ma douce, longue, longue, attente, attente. Et sœur violoncelle, douce ma chère. Tes morsures se font sévères. La souffrance remplace la peine. tu restes la seule que j'aime. Sans violence, c'est ma douce chère. À cette heure où l'on se perd, ton expression est ma blessure. Et la conscience me plaît futur. Le long, et douce ma chère. Le long, c'est grand pas nous faire. Le long, douce ma douce. Longue, longue, attente, attente.
Violence by Ulan Bator from the Ego Echo album, which is being issued on vinyl for the first time by Italian label Improved Sequence next month. I'd recommend that as an entry point into their body of work if your interest has been piqued by that track. Other recommendations, their third album Vegetal, which betrays their early Slint influence, and their fifth album, the almost neo-psychedelic Nouvelle Air, which was mixed by Robin Guthrie of Cocteau Twins. Time for a quick news roundup. Trump's impeachment led to his acquittal last month. The former president of the United States was judged by a jury of his peers, some of whom examined what they call their conscience and concluded that the actions that they themselves had implicitly endorsed did not warrant conviction, thereby clearing the way for a triumphant return to power in 2024, assuming he's not in prison for tax fraud. The few remaining members of QAnon rejoiced at the verdict. Their days of enslavement to a cabal of Satan-worshipping cannibalistic paedophiles are surely numbered. But comedy cowhorn-wearing QAnon shaman Jacob Chansley was not rejoicing. He was in the news last week asking to be released from prison because he doesn't like it. Specifically, the fact they don't serve organic food. His attorney has petitioned for bail, claiming he poses no risk to the public, and the spear he carried to the Capitol Hill riot was for ornamental purposes only. In other news, the High Court found Matt Hancock's department guilty of failing to publish details of VIP lane contracts worth £1.7 billion within the statutory 30-day time limit. These VIP COVID contract winners were the ones normally nominated by the Office of a Government Minister, who then won the contracts without having to go through the ball ache of a competitive tendering process, and walked off with contracts worth an average of £37 million each. Some, like Boyle's Sweetmakers, pest control firms and Matt Hancock's next-door neighbour, found themselves rolling in cash, with contracts to provide goods and services they had no prior experience of delivering. Arguably, contributing to the UK's world-beating COVID death toll. Matt Hancock also spent £200,000 of your money on solicitors to argue unsuccessfully that the breach of transparency over VIP contracts was merely technical rather than unlawful. Meanwhile, a TUC survey found that 7 out of 10 applicants for the £500 support payment for people who've been exposed to coronavirus and were self-isolating and unable to work from home have been refused. No VIP lane for the shit-munching proletariat. Unfortunately, Hancock's failures are now so common they're barely deemed newsworthy, let alone a sackable offence. And this didn't even make many of the front pages. The papers had more important distractions. Like Megxit. It rhymes with Brexit, and it also involves the press making foreigners feel unwelcome in the UK. Yes, the papers chose to focus their outrage last week on the Duke of Sussex, who slapped his old gran in her wrinkly face by breaking the royal code of silence to give an interview with Oprah Winfrey. The old queen decided to exact revenge by stripping Harry of his unearned military titles. As the Sun pointed out, he will no longer be allowed to appear in military uniform at official events. You'll have to save that for parties. Fawning lickspittles at the Sunday Mail paid professional royal toady Hugo Vickers for an op-ed piece in which he politely asked Prince Harry to step aside from the line of royal succession to avoid further embarrassment. Presumably, so the less embarrassing royal Prince Andrew could move two steps closer to becoming king. I don't recall editorials asking Prince Andrew to step down after evidence emerged of his continuing close friendship with convicted child sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein, and his interview with Emily Maitlis, in which no one had told him it would be good form to pretend to show concern for Epstein's child victims. This has prompted some people to accuse the press of double standards over their attitude to our two royal princes, obviously forgetting the key point that the groomed 17-year-old Virginia Roberts Giuffre is not mixed race. Plus, Megxit rhymes with Brexit, nearly. And Virginiexit, it just sounds stupid. But enough of this tiresome wokeness. Let's have a song from another creepy old man with an unhealthy interest in teenage girls.
Vous avez lu l'histoire de Jesse James? Comment il vécu? Comment il est mort? Ça vous a plu, hein? Vous en demandez encore? L'histoire de Bonnie and Clyde. Alors voilà, Clyde a une petite amie. Elle est belle et son prénom c'est
Bonnie.
À eux deux, ils forment le gang Barrow. Leur nom
Bonnie Parker
et Clyde Barrow.
Bonnie and Clyde. Bonnie and Clyde. Moi, lorsque j'ai connu Clyde autrefois, c'était un gars loyal, honnête et droit.
Il faut croire que c'est la société qui m'a définitivement abîmé.
Bonnie and Clyde, Bonnie and Clyde.
Qu'est-ce qu'on n'a pas écrit sur elle et moi?
On prétend que nous tuons de sang-froid.
C'est pas drôle, mais on est bien obligé
de faire taire celui qui se met à gueuler. Bonnie and Clyde, Bonnie and Clyde.
Chaque fois qu'un policeman se fait buter,
qu'un garage ou qu'une banque se fait braquer,
la police, ça ne fait pas de mystère.
C'est signé
Clyde Barrow,
Bonnie Parker, Bonnie and Clyde, Bonnie and Clyde.
Maintenant, chaque fois qu'on essaie de se ranger,
de s'installer tranquille dans un meublé,
trois jours, voilà le tac tac tac.
Des mitraillettes qui reviennent à l'attaque.
Bonnie and Clyde,
Bonnie and Clyde.
Un de ces quatre, nous tomberons ensemble. Moi je m'en fous, c'est pour Bonnie que je tremble.
Quelle importance qu'il me fasse la peau. Moi, Bonnie, je tremble pour Clyde Barrow. Bonnie and Clyde, Bonnie and Clyde.
De toute façon, il ne pouvait plus s'en sortir.
La seule solution, c'était mourir.
A suivi en enfer
quand sont morts Barrow et Bonnie Parker. Bonnie and Clyde, Bonnie and Clyde.
That was Brigitte Bardot and Serge Gainsbourg with their 1968 single, Bonnie and Clyde. Sadiq Khan is back in the news. After ruining Brexit with his left-wing fireworks, he's now drawn criticism from the Conservative press by setting up a commission to review London's public spaces. The mayor's office said it will review what currently makes up London's public realm, discuss what legacies should be celebrated, and make a series of recommendations in order to improve diversity in the city. Conservative MP Andrew Rosendale, who describes himself as a Thatcherite and a flag fanatic, and is founder and chairman, and probably the only member, of the all-party parliamentary flag group, he shared his concerns in the Commons about unelected activists being given the power to interfere with London's street names and monuments, which then prompted friend of the show, Jacob Rees-Mogg, to weigh in with this.
Mr. Speaker, I absolutely agree with my honourable friend. It seems to me that the Mayor of London has replaced Red Ken as Red Khan. That who would have thought that you would have a more left-wing leader of London than Ken Livingstone? But now we do, and Red Khan is he. It is quite wrong that these loony left-wing wheezes should be inflicted upon our great metropolis. And as I was saying on the honours system, we should celebrate and glory in our wonderful history and in the great heroes of our nation going back over centuries.
Mogg is affectionately known to his friends in the House as the Honourable Member for the 18th century, and might therefore be unaware that in the 21st century, if a fellow Tory MP, like Edward Colston, declared a member's interest in a company responsible for 84,000 counts of human trafficking, he could face up to 18 years in prison, on each count. But before you start texting the show, complaining about left-wing bias, I know this was all part of our wonderful history. I'm not an idiot. And don't text in saying Edward Colston MP and Sir Jimmy Savile, Knight of the Realm, are both innocent until proven guilty. I know that too. And, like many listeners out there in Southend, and Jacob Rees-Mogg out there in the 18th century, I yearn for simpler times before these loony left-wing wheezers about acknowledging criminal behaviour. When the British Empire could trade with the world, unregulated by European quotas, and we didn't have Brussels bureaucrats telling us how many children we could pack into our slave ships. And we could celebrate the entrepreneurs who brought economic prosperity to cities like London, Liverpool and Bristol, with lovely buildings and commemorative statues, without being made to feel guilty about it by these wheezing loony lefties. Here's a track from that golden era, before we join the European Union. Thank you. That was Majeune with Les Enfants Sauvages from the Strain, Crack and Break Music from the Nurse with Wound List Volume 1 compilation album, released by Finders Keepers in 2019. That track originates from their self-titled debut, released in 1973. The three regular listeners to the show will be aware that I have, at times, been sceptical about the UK government's reaction to the COVID crisis, questioning the priorities of some government ministers during an avoidable catastrophe that's claimed the lives of over 122,000 people. While many enterprising Conservatives naturally saw this as an opportunity for a free-for-all, a once-in-a-lifetime cash grab for their mates, Robert Jenrick, Minister for Local Government and Communities, responded to the pandemic more seriously by drafting emergency legislation to protect the community's statues from what he believed to be an even greater threat: the plague of woke worthiness. My own MP, Little Tom Hunt of the Countryside Alliance, used his opportunity to make a contribution in the Commons to voice his disgust at the BBC for removing his favourite racist comedy programme, Little Britain, from the iPlayer. Not by woke worthies this time, but by a more insidious menace, the liberal metropolitan elite. And now, exams fiasco mastermind Gavin Williamson, Secretary of State for Education in the sixth richest country in the world, where a fifth of children leave compulsory education with no qualifications at all. Gavin has published his carefully considered response to COVID. His plan is to introduce legislation that will enable academics, students and visiting speakers who are no-platformed to sue universities for compensation where they feel they have suffered because of free speech infringements. He wants to bring in a law that would allow Nick Griffin or David Icke to trouser a load of cash if an Oxbridge speaking engagement is cancelled due to loony lefties and their hatred of free speech. So, while parents who can't even remember how to do long division are trying to teach their kids simultaneous equations while juggling a Zoom meeting and a nervous breakdown, Gavin Williamson is planning a financial compensation package for Holocaust deniers who suffer loss of earnings due to cancel culture. Naturally, this has provoked moany critics to accuse the government of, quotes, fighting phantom threats to free speech instead of addressing the COVID crisis in higher education. But there's no pleasing some people. Let's cheer them up with a song about French education.
I'm born in France, in a Catholic hall. I could be born in a Jewish closet. It will be the same, I don't joke. It will be the same. You don't escape your fate. The Nazi priest sleep in my bed. You don't escape your fate. They teach well, they teach so well. I say them, bravo! They teach well, they teach so well. I say them, bravo! Bravissimo! They saved me. Don't touch the food. Don't touch the flesh, don't touch the food, don't touch the flesh. They made me their tattoo, deep inside my belly. They made me their tattoo, deep inside my bones. You don't escape your face. I don't joke. You don't escape your fate. They teach well, they teach so well. I say them, bravo. They teach well, they teach so well. I say them, bravo. Bravissimo. School shit, school shit, school shit, school shit.
Jean-Louis Costes, a 66-year-old lunatic outsider, DIY musician, writer and actor, who's appeared in Baisemoir and Irreversible, in which apparently Costes plays a character called Fistman. I haven't seen it, so I don't know what that role entails. Although I have seen several Costes performance videos, and the images certainly stay with you. They're described online as scatological, but if you're expecting Roy Chubby Brown-style toilet humour, you'll be rewarded by something far funnier and more sophisticated. A man eating human faeces. Despite his attention-seeking performance art, Costes is, if anything, even more notorious and controversial for his music. He's released at least 113 albums since the mid-80s. That track was They Teach Well from Lung Farts, released in 1989, and is, by some margin, the most tuneful and inoffensive piece of music I've heard him produce. If you want to explore the music of Costes, Calamine Records, based in Bordeaux, has compiled a career overview containing 20 tracks selected from his vast discography. Called The Voice Behind the Voice, or The Vice Behind the Vice, depending on whether or not you're supposed to pronounce the letters in brackets, it was released in October last year and available from their Bandcamp page. For many Brexiteers, strange foreign people like Costes were the reason they wanted to leave the EU. But although everyone was happy when we left the EU, for some it was a happiness tinged with disappointment, because the 5 years of non-stop Brexit press coverage had to finally come to an end. And it left a big gap in a lot of people's lives. Which is why I was excited to see the hashtag #RestartBrexit trending on Twitter a couple of weeks ago. A conservative group, the Conservative European Forum, like Brexit so much, they've decided they want to do it all over again. In a move that I'm sure will appeal to a lot of people listening out there in Southend, they want Boris to go back to Europe and pull Britain out of the European Union a second time in a different way. Apparently, he was so focused on securing the trade deal that led to a 68% drop in exports to the EU in January that he failed to hammer out the details that would allow the UK to remain part of Europol and Eurojust and retain access to the Schengen Information System too, the database of suspected terrorists and organised criminals which was apparently checked 603 million times by UK police in 2019 alone. We've also been ejected from the European Arrest Warrant System, meaning EU states no longer have to extradite their citizens to the UK, meaning they can steal our ham sandwiches with impunity. These reliever Tories felt this didn't chime well with Priti Patel's claim that, quote, the Conservative Party is the party of law and order, and they weren't reassured by Michael Gove's statement in the Commons in October that the UK could, quote, operate more effectively in many areas over border security outside the EU than we ever could inside. Because obviously the words coming out of his mouth didn't make sense to any rational person. For me, Restart Brexit is a win-win. We can get Brexit back in the news, and we can issue international arrest warrants for those thieving Dutch bastards and bring them to justice in an English court.
Se demandent la bua, se demandent la bua. Nous les inserbirum dun, din nous les inserbirum dun, dun se nes demandent l'âge, se nes demandent l'âge. Nous les inbailerum dun, din nous les inbailerum dun, dun.
Thank you.
That was Sous Commande de Saint-Jacques by Cocagne on the excellent Pagans label, based in Pau, overlooking the Pyrenees. Cocagne is a three-piece voice and percussion group consisting of Caroline Defoe, Maud Herrera, and Lila Fraise. That track was from their second full-length album, Poo Poo, released... Stop sniggering. It's a type of bird, what we would call a hoopoo. See? It sounds just as stupid in English. The album's great, buy it. In the last episode, we heard how the UK government sabotaged our soft power cultural influence in Europe by rejecting the idea of visa-free touring by bands and solo musicians, and then blamed Brussels. This, despite repeatedly assuring the music industry that a Brexit deal would protect touring performers as well as their support teams and equipment. Stars, including folk singer Laura Marling and Charlatans frontman Tim Burgess, signed a parliamentary petition demanding visa-free tours, backed by over 285,000 people, which the government pretty much dismissed in a single sentence on the 8th of February. Ian Brown, formerly of the Stone Roses, was approached for comment and said, "Mask wearing causes brain damage. If you think this is only about a virus, you are mad, crazy, you're crackers, nuts, mad as a ship's frog. But we'll forgive you because you're up against billionaire psychopaths, well-prepared propaganda, a well-oiled and slick machine, many years in the making. Wake the fuck up. The bat was put in your mind as part of the spell, a symbol for the devil-minded elite using poodle politicians to hold us hostage while they rearrange society. Their poison's your only pass to, quotes, freedom." Thanks, Ian. That was a real quote from Twitter. I didn't have to write that one. One of the huge advantages of Twitter is that it gives real-time, unfiltered access to every thought in Ian Brown's head. I don't actually use it for anything else anymore. That was Rétention Préventive by Contra Legem, or Contra /LGM, part 5 of the Nanoloop Techno Resistance series, released on U-Ball, a label based in Nice. That was from a limited edition lathe cut 7-inch released in 2018. It's not available digitally, and there are only 30 copies with no repress. So if you want to hear it again, I guess you'll have to rewind the podcast, which you can do if you're using the Shipful of Bombs Podbean player, but not if you're still attempting to use Mixcloud. Contra Legem, I believe, is a solo project by Jules, one half of Simba, and all of Je Deviens DJ en Toiture. There's also a Contra Legem live set recorded at the Zone Pelagique night at Café Otto in 2017, which is available to download for free from the Contra Legem SoundCloud page, which is also well worth checking out. Which brings us to the end of another show. You've been enjoying or enduring the Antigen Internet radio show on Shipful of Bombs, arguably Southend-on-Sea's greatest contribution to popular culture. Other shows are available on other nights. Thanks very much for listening to this one. Tune in for more loony left-wing Tory bashing on the next episode in 4 weeks' time, on April the 5th. Good night, and stay safe out there.
Brexit, c'est de la merde. Boris, c'est un vieux con. Pas un vieux con, mais un vrai con. Et ben, ce gouvernement, eh ben, ce sont que des cons.